Hello and welcome to the X-Files podcast. This is a weekly podcast focusing on the X-Files TV series, which ran from 1993 to the year 2002. It spanned 9 seasons, 202 episodes, 2 feature films, a spinoff series, and a 2016 reboot miniseries that's actually about to air very soon at the time of this recording. So before I intro me and my co-hosts, allow me to set things up. This show will, in fact, contain spoilers, as it is near impossible to talk about a 45-minute TV show at length and not spoil it. So, spoiler be warned. We encourage you guys to follow along, watch an episode, listen to us, watch an episode, listen to us, kind of like that. Second, there are many ways you can listen and support us. The first is 22shotsandmoodsandhorror.com. You can find the show there as well as some other stuff. I swear in 2016, I'm going to be more active on there, posting news and stuff like that. So stay tuned. The second is Horrorphilia, which hosts our podcast, set us up with a free iTunes feed, all that good stuff. iTunes is the third option. Make sure you rate, review us, which is very much appreciated if you do. As well as you can check out our other shows like the Ash vs. Evil Dead podcast and the 22 Shots of Moods and Horror podcast, which Kyle will be guesting on again very soon for our sleazy episode, which is episode 69. We cover the Elsa trilogy. I am one of your two hosts, JP, podcasting out of Southwest PA, and joining me tonight, he just said something a second ago. It is Kyle, the horrorphile.
What is up, guys? What is up, JP? How you been, man?
I'm good. I'm good, man. It feels like, for some reason, it feels like this week was a long week, because it feels like we recorded a long time ago, but it was really literally just 7 days ago. Maybe it was because I recorded another 6-hour or 5-hour podcast a few days
ago. I was honestly going to say the same thing. Like, I was going to say, it feels like we, you know, it's been, God, it feels like it's been two weeks, if not longer. It's just been like the week's been long, and I was actually out on vacation too, you know, from work. So I guess it's just been like me being lazy, laying around, and then not really thinking about, you know, doing the podcast last week. But we're still, like I say every week, we're still moving through these episodes, man. We're on the 11th episode of the first season already, so we're halfway through the first season, I believe. So it's kind of crazy.
Yeah, it's super cool. And one thing that's really interesting is we are fastly approaching the era where I no longer know anything about the show, because I have seen Eve and I have seen Fire, which is next week's episode, and after that it's all fresh territory. So I'm super excited for that. Super excited.
Yeah, and like I was telling you, you know, a lot of these, and we say this every episode, so it probably gets old me saying it, but a lot of these earlier episodes of this show were hit or miss. A lot of the episodes we have reviewed so far, if you guys have listened to the previous episodes, we've probably disliked more than we have liked. And that is a normal thing for this type of TV show, early 90s. There's a lot of and this show had a huge theme. The 90s had a huge theme for TV shows because there was a lot like the X-Files. I mean, you got you had the Star Trek series. There's like 4 Star Trek series in the 90s running. You had the X-Files. You had what I think was Quantum Leap, I believe. Well, that was in the 90s, Stargate. And those were all hit or miss. Stargate. I mean, there was a ton of TV shows that had several seasons, like 8 or 9 seasons. All the episodes were hit or miss. So, you know, something about the X-Files, though, is it does get better. The good thing about the X-Files is I have watched all these episodes multiple times, and it does get way, way better. And even, you know, some TV shows nowadays, me and JP were talking about, you know, I started watching Dexter here recently. He was telling me there's a lot of seasons of that show that aren't that great. It seems like that's been a common theme with a lot of TV shows, is the more seasons you have of a TV show, the more hit or miss episodes are going to be. So, but yeah, I appreciate everybody that has been following along with us and is following along with us for listening. You know, I actually noticed the first, or I think it was the second episode that I uploaded to my channel. I only have, like, on my YouTube channel, I have like a little bit less than 300 subscribers. I think the second episode, the Deep Throat episode, has like over 150 views. I saw the other day. I was actually really surprised. I was like, wow. You know, we do have some listeners out there, so that's really, really cool to see.
Yeah, it is cool. I actually got a comment the other day on the latest one I uploaded, which I am a little bit behind on those, but the latest one I uploaded, somebody did say, I'm following along or something. So that's pretty cool.
Sweet. I like hearing that. So I'm very glad that people are doing that. And we are vastly approaching the new, they're coming out with a reboot, which will be basically season 10. And it will have 6 episodes, that they're going to air, which from what I hear, they're going to be rehashing some of the older episodes, not rehashing them, but they're going to be kind of like digging back from, to previous episodes in the new season. So I'm really interested to see that. It actually airs in like 2 weeks from the time we're taping this. So that should be pretty cool. But I guess you want to go ahead and get into this episode, man?
Yeah, absolutely. So this episode is Eve. I'm curious if you know who directed and wrote this one and when did it air?
Yeah, so this is season 1, episode 11, Eve. EVE, that's how you spell it. I know there's Eves and Eve, but it's EVE. This originally aired December 10th of 1993, and it was directed by Fred Gerber. You know anything about Fred?
Yeah, so Fred directed a lot of TV over the years. all the way from 89... on through the 90, a bunch of shows that I've never heard of. Actually only directed one episode of The X-Files, which is tonight's episode. He's directed a little bit of ER. He got into some TV movies in the mid-90s, and then kind of right back to TV series. Nothing of super note. He did a few episodes of Desperate Housewives and Judging Amy, and one episode of Prison Break on into the 2000s, and then he's still doing a little bit of stuff, but nothing major that I am familiar with. So really just out of probably everybody that we've talked about so far, I mean, really.
I was going to say, bet Moods would think it was freaking cool because he directed an episode of Erie, Indiana. I know Moods and me in particular, from when I was little, I used to love that show, and it's pretty funny that he directed an episode of that because it's like one of the most obscure, smaller TV shows ever. They had like one season.
Yep, I like it. It's a Canadian production.
Yeah, and it's really cool. Like I remember the TV show Erie, Indiana when I was a kid. I didn't hear about it forever, and then I guess somebody, they put it out on bootleg.
Shout Factory put it out on DVD.
Yeah, and it was on bootleg before that. And I remember people talking about, you can get it on bootleg, and then Shout Factory put it out, so I thought it was pretty cool. But yeah, so it was directed by Fred Gerber. This episode was also a collaborative episode written by Kenneth Biller, who I believe Kenneth Biller is a producer for The X-Files, or he does something other than write on The X-Files. He does another...
He wrote a few other TV shows. Like, he did some Star Trek. He did some Dark Angel. He did some Smallville, which I remember like a friend back in the day. He actually directed those, not wrote.
Wow.
And one of my friends back in the day always tried to get me to watch Smallville, and I just never did. So, he wrote Beverly Hills 90210. He did the Last Man on Earth TV movie from 99, did some Star Trek Voyager written-wise, some Smallville, and pretty much that's about it. I mean, I'm not really.
This is where I'm hearing him from. This is why his name sounds so familiar. Is that he was on Star Trek? Because I remember seeing his name now that you said that on like a ton of like the intros. Because I was a huge Star Trek fan when I was a kid. It sounds nerdy, but I was whatever. People are into whatever they like. He actually wrote. I don't know if you're a Star Trek fan out there listening. I know some people are. He actually wrote in the first alien species in Voyager, or the first appearance of the Borg in Voyager. So I think that's pretty cool. I had no idea.
I think it's pretty lame.
I bet you do. And you also like penis, so that's also something we need to look into at some point. And also it was written by Chris Brancato.
And he did a few things that I'm a little bit more familiar with. So he did some Beverly Hills 90210 as a writer, that one single episode of The X-Files. The probably main thing that I noticed in his filmography is he wrote the sequel to Species, which was, of course, Species 2, which I actually like. I'm a pretty big fan of that show, or that movie, I mean. And it's not the best sequel in the world, but it's like sexy alien stuff. Natasha, whatever the hell her name is, Henderson or something. But after that, he did a little bit of TV here and there, Law and Order. Hannibal, he actually wrote a few episodes on, which is pretty cool. And the most recent is actually the popular Netflix TV series called Narcos.
Huh, interesting. I've heard of that show, but I've never watched it.
Yeah, I've heard really good things, but I haven't watched it yet either.
Yeah, I was going to say, I thought it had somebody that, it looks like it's a Netflix series. It's funny, I'm looking at his IMDb. This guy's IMDb is like, he's got a funny line here. It says, he has three children who describe him as an ass.
That makes sense.
That's pretty hilarious. And also, it does say here that Brancato has written 21 TV pilots in total. So that's, which is a shit ton of TV pilots. So
yeah, I wonder how many of them actually got picked up.
Probably not. Well, probably not many, I would assume, because I've never heard of this guy. But he has done a lot of stuff here, so which is pretty cool. So, but yeah, we'll get into the episode here. Oh yeah, do you want to go over some
viewership?
Viewership.
Yeah, so the viewership on this episode is actually up from the last episode, which was 8.8 million, and this episode is up to 10.4 million. As just a reminder, the premiere of episode 1, the pilot, had 12 million, so not too far off of that. It's actually, you know, it's actually not that bad, you know, 10.4. So, yeah, pretty cool.
Not cool. That's pretty cool. So something else I wanted to note, too, that I saw when I started the episode watching this episode, because I hadn't seen this. I generally, when I rewatch The X-Files, just so everybody knows, I tend to skip over the first season because there's a lot of episodes. There's more episodes in the first season I dislike than any of the other seasons.
Well, that's good. That's like, you know, that makes me feel a little bit better.
I hope it reassures a lot of people that are listening, because I do. I was actually watching The X-Files the other day on Netflix. I just wanted to throw something on to watch. I didn't feel like getting up and putting a movie in. So I actually threw on some episodes from season 5, and then I threw on some episodes from season 8. I generally never go to season 1, because season 1 was so – seems like season 1 is so slow and just like slow-paced and – all the other seasons, like there's way more hit or miss episodes in the first season than any of the other seasons. So that's kind of just so everybody knows. And I hope everybody that's listening does continue to follow us along. If we, you know, when we do other seasons of this show, because they do get better. So, because so far, you know, we're up to season or episode 11. And like I was saying earlier, there's been probably way more we've disliked and bashed than we've liked. So.
You know, we're almost to the mid-season point here, and just kind of a little update on like my vibe towards the show. I've already seen all these episodes, but I gotta admit, like, I'm not loving it. Like, I'm liking it, I'm having fun with it, partly because we're doing a podcast on it.
Yeah,
but I gotta be honest, like, I don't love this show yet at all. Yeah. Like, I think it's decent. It's a decent show.
You really
so
can't judge this show, period, off the first season, because if you do, you will dislike the show. I mean, I will tell you, and you even told me when, you know, we're talking outside of the show, that you've been told that that everything gets better, which it does. So yeah, I mean, if you guys are listening for the first time, don't feel discouraged that, you know, hey, this, you know, they're going over these weird, crappy, some of these episodes are crappy episodes. This show really does pick up and get intense. I mean, there are some major, major plot developments in the, like, you know, the next few seasons and on to the rest of the season. So don't feel discouraged. It gets better. So, but yeah, we'll kind of jump into this episode before we ramble on too long.
Let's do it.
This episode, like I said, season 1, episode 11, Eve. It starts out, two people are jogging down this road. It's a man and a woman. They're not in the rest of the episode, just two random people. And they see this little girl standing in her driveway. And the little girl's by herself. She's holding her teddy bear or stuffed rabbit. It was some kind of animal. And she looks very scared. They go up to her and they're like, why are you standing out here? And, you know, she's like, my dad wanted some space.
First of all, I just got to cut you off right there, because I remember specifically the guy that was with the, you know, as the part of the jogging couple, the male part, he was like, well, his time's about out or something.
Yeah, it was pretty.
She was like, my dad said he needs some time alone. He's like, well, his time's about up.
yeah, it was pretty cheesy. I will say this, too, before we kind of get into, well, let me go ahead and explain what happens, and then we'll get into this right before the intro. So they go up to the guy walks up to the dad with the little girl and the wife, and the dad's sitting on a swing set, and he kind of his head just kind of tilts over, and he's dead. And he looks like a corpse, and he's dead. And it looks like something had – there's like two bite marks on his neck. It looked like vampire bite marks. They kind of look like the alien bite marks you see in previous episodes that they kind of said they were. But there's two bite marks on his neck, and he just looks very pale and dead. And then the intro plays. Now, what I wanted to say is two things. So far, this is the shortest first scene of any episode we've seen. This scene was literally 3 minutes long before the intro played, and also it's probably the shittiest first scene for any of the episodes so far. I really think so. I thought it was cool. I thought it was like way too short, and it left me on a like it didn't even really leave me on a cliffhanger. I was just kind of like, okay, this guy's dead. Who gives a shit? I don't even know who this guy is.
I'll tell you right now, it was funny because the guy is, you know, first he says, well, his time's about up. I didn't find it was cheesy. I just thought it was like very dickheadish. Like that he was like, so he was just one of those type of people that like instantly want to jump in other people's business. Like, you know, and then he walks up to the dude who's on the swing set. He's like, isn't this for your daughter? Isn't the swing set for your daughter? He says something like that. And I'm like, this fucking dickhead.
I just thought it wasn't like really, I mean, this for the episode, they could have done a little bit more, I guess, for the, I mean, it was literally 3 minutes long. And most of the time,
yeah,
you're
I like that.
Watching
Fuck
it for a little
long
while.
Minutes,
yeah, I don't know. I guess
I liked it because honestly, when the reveal, I did think it was a little, like, the dead body looked kind of gross. Like, I mean, I thought it was all right. It wasn't bad.
It wasn't horrible, but I don't know. I guess just from comparing it to previous episodes, and like I was a little bit more left on a cliffhanger with some of the previous episodes, a lot more than that. I was just kind of like, oh, okay, that's stupid. But I mean, the only thing about the beginning part was the two bite marks. I was really curious about like what are those. Yeah, but pretty much after the intro plays, the daughter, they say that the, you know, Mulder and Scully are talking, that they don't know exactly how this, you know, this parent could have died, this guy could have died, because the daughter was only away from the dad for 10 minutes and he ended up being dead.
Yeah, and so, I believe they start saying that his blood was drained, correct?
Yeah, so there was like a bloodletting, basically. Somehow his blood was drained out of his body. Like, not, it wasn't like all of his blood, but it was like a good portion of his blood was drained out of his body. And obviously, here we go, it's an X-Files, so Mulder and Scully's kind of looking into it. Mulder kind of goes ahead and states his theory. He's trying to say that he thinks aliens are experimenting on humans now because they used to experiment on cattle.
And cattle carcasses were found similarly, you know, found in a similar type of way.
Type of fashion. Yeah, there was like, you know, basically blood being drained from cattle carcasses back, you know, in,
yeah,
some,
but there was no evidence, like the blood wasn't laying on the ground or anything.
Yeah, there was no blood there, but there was no blood in the cow's bodies. And this was a similar case because there was no blood on the ground when they found the guy. It was just gone. So he's thinking the aliens are experimenting now. They were experimenting on cattle, and now they're experimenting on humans. So they kind of stepped their game up.
And one thing that I like, this is actually, I referred to it last week, but it was actually in this episode. What had happened was I had let my TV keep playing. I watched it on Netflix, and you know, it just will skip to the next episode.
Yeah.
And I remember this line, must have as I was falling asleep, but and thought it was in the previous episode, but it was actually in this one. It was where Mulder said, Scully asked, like, why would aliens, you know, want to do that? And he's like, well, why do we cut up frogs and monkeys? And I thought that was a good line.
Yeah, I mean, it is. Like, it's kind of like, hey, you know, of course they're going to want to experiment on humans to know kind of what they're dealing with and, you know, on our planet. So, but yeah, so Mulder and Scully actually go visit the little girl who was outside at the beginning of the episode. Her name's Tina, to kind of question her. They're going to kind of want to know, you know, hey, what happened here? How did this happen? And, you know, do you know anything about it? Did you see anything? So they, you know, she's actually in foster care now. So she's in like the Social Security home office where they're taking care of her because she doesn't have any more parents. They go up and they start talking to her. You know, they let her in, they start talking to her. And she tells Mulder and Scully that the men from the clouds were after her dad. So basically she's saying, like, you know, sounds like aliens, basically, if you ask me. She just says men from clouds are after her dad.
Mulder's like fucking light bulb lights up.
Oh, dude,
like,
Mulder's got a fucking boner the minute she says
that.
He's
like, men from clouds, red lightning.
dude, anything with that word, like men from clouds and aliens, will give fucking David Duchovny and X-Files a boner. But yeah, pretty much Mulder's sitting there with a hard on. He's like, oh, fuck yeah. and then she says that she saw red lightning, which is kind of weird because I've just never really heard of, like, you know, seeing red lightning. It's like, what the fuck? I guess that's maybe like a bright light or something she saw. So then, you know, as they're standing there kind of questioning this little girl, Scully gets a phone call stating that there was another victim that had the same problem, that same thing happened with. You know, it was a little girl. Parent had their blood drain. One of the parents had the blood drain. And,
Let me kind of cut in here for a minute. So after that, they go to another location that is like 3,000 miles away from this location, correct?
Yep.
And there they, you know, kind of are doing a little investigation, and they kind of come to the idea that, oh, this actually didn't happen. Scully says that it happened 3 hours before or whatever, but he's like, no, this is Eastern, you know, this is West Coast
Pacific,
time or whatever.
Yeah, Pacific time.
Yeah, so he's like, it actually happened at the exact same time. And then what I think is a really cool reveal, they find out that there's, like, another girl, the daughter, because they go to question the daughter. There was a daughter that, you know, there was the victim had a daughter similar to the first case, and then they go find the daughter to question her like they did in the first case, and it looks like it's the same fucking person.
Yeah, it's like a twin of the other girl. So we got two girls, two separate locations, 3,000 miles apart.
Exact same
thing happened to both of them at the exact same time. So what is that shit? It's aliens. No, I'm just joking. But
well, that's what you would think right away. But I just like – this is a Monster of the Week episode, by the way, guys. But I thought right away that like, oh, that was actually played out really cool.
It was.
Like I – I had remembered this episode as like one of the episodes I remembered the most out of the, remember I said I watched 12, this and Ice, I think are like the two episodes I remembered the most out of the episodes that I watched because of that reveal. I think that reveal is really cool.
Yeah. I really liked how the storyline was going at this point. I thought it was really cool how, you know, they had wrote it in. So it's like, you got these twin girls, basically they look they're identical. I mean, they're definitely twins. And the same situation is happening same time, same, you know, father gets blood drawn from them and dies. It's kind of crazy. So I was like pretty stoked at this point. I was like, this is pretty cool.
Questioning the mother, I believe, right?
Yeah, they start questioning the mother. The mother's of Cindy. So Cindy, Tina's the first girl, the little girl, and then Cindy's the second little girl. And they start questioning the mother. The mother's kind of like, you know, this is my daughter. You know, how can you say all this? You know,
and,
she's not believing it.
They're asking her, like, hey, did you have one child when you gave birth? You know, did you, was there, you know, is this the father? You know, they're trying to figure out, like, how is this possible? Because obviously they look the same. They have to be related in some way.
Up to the point where they show, I mean, they show the picture of, you know, the other little girl, and obviously it's the same girl, and mom's like, what the fuck? You know, cause she's just kind of looking like in awe. And then as this is going on, like after they leave, they find out Tina, the first little girl, she actually got abducted from the Social Security home that she was staying in, like the actual home they had her in because her parent had died, her dad had died. So right now, kind of what we got going on, just to kind of sum it up, I mean, we're getting close to halfway through the episode here already. You got two little girls, identical girls, same situation happened to them. Now one of the little girls, you got Tina and Cindy. Tina, the first little girl, is abducted. She's gone. Nobody knows where she's at. Nobody knows how it happened. I mean, somebody snuck in and got her and snuck out. So
the mother actually mentions that she you know, was that the daughter was conceived at a fertilization clinic.
Verto fertilization. So yeah, before the abduction, you know, they find out that she was actually conceived at a Verto fertilization clinic, which I've never really heard of the term before, but I kind of know what it is. It's basically a sperm bank. So they were trying. Yeah, that's really all the only place, like, the way I can explain it is the mom was trying to get pregnant by the dad. The dad wasn't was shooting blanks, and she went to the fertilization clinic and got pregnant. So
it's a test tube baby.
Test tube baby. Yeah. So basically, it's her baby, but it was still conceived in a test tube.
Yeah, I think that they also in these particular places they don't just put sperm inside of the woman. They like pull her eggs and the dude's sperm and kind of put it together in a little tube and put
it back. It doesn't, the woman doesn't actually, so it's a little bit different. So I don't know, I don't want to get in details of fertilization nor do I give a shit about that, but
yeah, so let's move on. So Scully hits up the fertilization clinic while Mulder stays behind, but is this where he meets up with Deep Throat?
this is around the time. So pretty much before they meet up with Deep Throat, they find out that the doctor that was working in that lab, in that verto-fertilization lab, they start questioning the guy that runs the place. She worked on Cindy and Tina and was messing around with the genetics at the time. So the guy that runs the verto-fertilization clinic told Mulder and Scully that basically they did not like the woman that worked there. There was a specific woman that worked with Cindy and Tina's, parents, and they didn't like her because she was messing around with the genetics of the kids that she was working on.
Yeah, so, she was doing experiments kind of on her own type deal that they're kind of frowned upon, so she got fired.
She got fired, and so this is kind of giving them
a lead. Yeah, but Scully's the only person here. I think Mulder, stayed back.
Yeah, I think Scully was the only one in the office. Mulder kind of, stayed, away. He was doing something else. He was watching the girl,
I think.
Yeah, something along those. It was something that really wasn't really a huge thing with the episode. Yeah, but he had stayed back.
But the reason he stayed back, it sets up the Deep Throat scene.
And this is kind of where we're getting into Deep Throat is Deep Throat is an underlying storyline for the entire series. So, Deep Throat shows up and he's telling Mulder. Mulder goes outside and meets up with him. He's always hiding in some weird place to kind of disguise himself. Mulder meets up with him, and he's telling him about the Lynchfield experiments. So basically,
was this a real thing? Because I think I heard of this before.
I don't know, where they were trying to create super soldiers
during the Cold War era.
It sounds like something that probably could have happened. I don't know. I didn't really research it that much, but they were trying to create a Cold War era super soldier program that was going to produce genetically modified children, and they were going to identify them as Adam or Eve based on their genders. So basically,
yeah, gives us the title of the episode, Eve.
Eve, yeah. So basically, they were going to clone people and make superhuman soldiers of these people that could basically fight in war, and it didn't matter if they died because they were clones. I mean, it mattered, but it didn't really matter, I guess, to people at the time.
Yeah, we find out that there was a bunch of Eves, and I believe one of them is still out there, right?
Yeah, so at this point, after Deep Throat says this, he actually basically directs Mulder to go to this prison. Well, it's like a psych ward prison kind of deal. And they go to the prison or the psych ward, whatever. It's like this gigantic. It looks almost like
it's like a mental asylum to me.
Yeah, but it's almost like a lockdown, like a prison. I've never seen a mental asylum like that. True. They meet up with Eve 6, which is kind of funny. I remember that band Eve 6 from the 90s, which is hilarious. But they meet up with Eve 6, and she is actually in this insane asylum, and she's one of the clones that's actually grown up. She's telling Mulder and Scully that Sally, who is the doctor that got fired, was messing with the genetics of all of, these sperm or whatever you want to call them, the verto-fertilization. She turned them into direct representations of herself. Sally was basically using that clinic to clone herself and make these super kind of human, people. So we kind of find a lot of storyline at this point. We're over halfway through the episode. You got one little girl who's still abducted. The other little girl is, still with her parent or with her mom. And now we found out that this woman, this doctor, Sally, was cloning all these little girls, and trying to make them kind of into superhumans.
Considers them
her family.
Yeah, they also are extremely intelligent and strong as well.
Exactly. After this scene where we kind of go back to Cindy's house, which is the one little girl that hasn't been abducted yet, and Mulder and Scully are staking out her house, and she gets abducted. They're looking into her window. Somebody comes in and grabs her, and Mulder kind of chases the woman around back, and it ends up being another Eve, which actually I think it's Sally that grabbed her. I think it's the original Sally, but I can't remember.
Well, the original Sally is Eve 7. Or one of the other Eves. I think they're all clones at this point.
Yeah.
It does get a little convoluted and confusing because they're all named Eve and they all look the same and they're, whatever. But
yeah.
That's where one of the Eves, I think it's the one that kind of went as Sally Kendrick and did the experiments. But she takes the two girls, I believe, correct?
Yeah, she takes both the girls, and they go back to this hotel, and she's kind of explaining to the girls kind of, you know, the whole situation, basically, of what happened.
And she asks them how they know each other, like, you know.
Yeah.
And which they say, you know, we just knew or something, which gives you the sense that they're actually kind of more developed. They're like the next kind of stage of these Eves.
Yep. Yeah, they're pretty much developed, and they're – they're kind of they know a lot more than she thinks they know, they're actually acting like they want to kill her. They want to kill the Eve that kind of captured them. So they're kind of sitting there, kind of like acting like they want to kill her, and they know pretty much about everything that's going on. And it's kind of confusing for me at this point because I'm like, really? How? It doesn't really explain how they just know.
Yeah, it is weird. I guess you're supposed to. It's kind of supposed to parallel the twin type thing, like the twin mentality, where you hear like, oh, like twins are always super connected to each other, they always know, they finish each other's sentences, stuff like that. So I think it's supposed to parallel that. But they end up saying that, you know, Eve 8 and actually Eve 7, who we know as an audience was not there, tried to kill them or start a mass suicide type deal. So Mulder and Scully, of course, believe them. And because they're two little harmless girls, right?
Exactly.
And they decide, after they kind of wrap things up there, they ask if they can take the girls with them as they leave the scene.
Yeah, so they take them with them to this, and the girls go with them, obviously. They end up going to this restaurant because they all got to go to the bathroom, which is kind of fucking funny to me for some reason. They're all just like, oh, we all got to take a piss, all four of us at one time. So they all go to this restaurant, and it's like really kind of dingy. It's like a diner. And they go to the bathroom, and while they're in the bathroom, one of the Eve girls sneaks out because Mulder had ordered some sodas for him, Coke.
Hold up.
We won't call
hold
it
up.
Soda.
We're not saying that.
Nah. We'll call it Coke, or we'll call it Pop, since JP's a little anal bitch about everything. Yeah,
because he had to say soda, and even though I'm offending like half the listener base.
apparently soda's a weird word.
I don't like it, so we'll either go with Coke and Diet Coke. So
okay.
One of the things was that Mulder and Scully got some Diet Coke, and he got the girls some Reg Coke.
Yeah, he got the regular. So the girls wanted regular Cokes, and mainly I think they wanted to do this to distinguish the drinks, obviously, because they didn't seem like they cared, but they just knew that if they didn't distinguish the drinks, that something would get screwed up. So
yeah, but it also kind of helped them. I guess it didn't go against their. What exactly happened? Did they mix up the drinks, or did they? They actually poisoned the drinks with the stuff that they used to kill the other person, but Mulder actually notices that it tastes a little extra syrupy.
Yeah, so we're kind of jumping ahead a little bit, but they go to the bathroom, they order the drinks, they go to the bathroom, one of the girls sneaks out, takes one of the diet sodas that, you know, obvious, or takes both the diet sodas, the ones that Mulder and Scully had ordered, and they try to poison. They put this like this powdery substance in the drink, and Mulder comes out. He's the first one to come out. He's like, oh, those are drinks. And he's like, the girl's like, yeah. So she gives Mulder and Scully the drinks. They take a couple of sips out of them, and then the little girls go get the other drinks, and they go outside. Mulder left. Apparently the little girl had snuck Mulder's key, or had Mulder's key and left it on the table. Mulder has to go back in and get the key, and Mulder finds some of the residue that's on the actual table from the poison. That's
which honestly, dude, I find a little bit silly because fucking anything could be sitting on that table. You know, it's a fucking diner, dude. Like, dude, that could be jelly.
It was pretty funny how, well, for one, it was kind of funny how she got that much poison on the table. There was like a lot of it. It looked like somebody emptied a pixie stick on the table.
Uh-huh.
And then it's funny how he was just like, oh, that's poison. Don't drink it, Scully.
He walks out and smacks the drink out of Scully's hand.
He's a little too smart. Like, I don't feel like Mulder's as smart. They're making him out to be like the superhuman himself in a way.
Yeah. I mean, it's TV though, dude. Like, yeah, I understand. Like, we're going to criticize it just because that's what we do here. But at the same time, I mean, what do you expect? It's fucking the hero of the show. You know what I mean?
Exactly. So,
you know, after that, he kind of leans over and tells Scully, as he slaps the drink out of her hand, tells her, don't drink it. He's like, they poisoned it. They turn around and they're gone.
Yeah, they're gone. And basically at this point, the little girls are at a truck stop too, and they're running between all these big, you know, not tankers, but 18-wheelers, and they're kind of hiding. And Mulder and Scully are chasing them, they can't find them. They finally find them, and these this trucker guy, the little girl starts screaming. The trucker guy comes out with a gun, and he's like, "Put him down." He's like, and they're like, "We're cops." And then they're like, "Put him down." And the little girls run away again. And then they show them their FBI badges, and they start running after them again. It's kind of a cat and mouse game for a while here. And then they can't find them, and a school bus comes. I thought it was kind of funny. A random school bus, and I even put this here. It said random bus shows up, and they get on the bus, which Mulder and Scully think they get on the school bus, but Mulder's a little too smart for that. They were actually hiding under a tarp that was covering a boat, and Mulder knew where they were and waited for them to get out and like pretty much grabbed them. And pretty much at the end of this is pretty much the end of the episode. They end up putting the two little girls in the psych ward with that other, you know, woman, the other Eve, which are Eve 6. So they have three, they have two little girls and Eve 6 in the psych ward. And then it shows Eve 8 at the end come out, and she comes to collect the girls, and she's in the psych ward and she's acting like she's a doctor. And she's like, "I've come to collect you guys." And then the episode ends. So,
yeah, I mean, which ends like very typical fashion, but whatever.
Yeah, whatever. But one
I want to ask you something, because this was kind of bugging me, and I definitely noticed it on rewatch. I remember thinking about it the first time I watched this a couple months ago, but on this rewatch, I really noticed it. So, if it's obviously the beginning of the episode set up to make you think that it's aliens, then we find out that it's not. It's mm-hmm. these two girls. But how the fuck did they get all the blood out of the body still? That's still how'd that happen?
I don't have an answer for that. I have no idea. They didn't explain it, did it?
Because that's like a fucking plot hole, kind of, right?
it's a pretty big plot. Well, there's a lot of plot holes in this episode, to be honest with you. But yeah, that was definitely a plot hole. It didn't explain it. It didn't explain what those little two marks were, if they were like sucking the blood out with their teeth, or if they were, you know, it didn't really explain any of that, or like where the blood went. Like, where the fuck did all this guy's blood go? So
yeah, because well, one of the things that one Eve asks the two little girls, "Why did you kill your father?" And they say, "Well, he's not our father." But that alludes to the fact that they did do the killing. So what in the shit? Like, how did they do that?
Dude, you got me, man. I was thinking the exact same thing when I was thinking about a lot of things when this episode got over. But we'll kind of get in those, I guess, in just a couple of minutes.
Yeah, let's go into a little bit of trivia first. So as you alluded to earlier, the rock band Eve 6 did take their name from the Eve 6 character in this episode.
Oh, really? I didn't even know that. That's actually really fucking cool. So sweet.
Yeah. So some lame band also like the X-Files.
Hey, they're lame now, but back in the day they're actually pretty decent for like the time.
I don't think I know anything that they did together.
They did that song that was really popular. It was Inside Out. It was like you have to listen to it.
No, just sing it. You was get about to.
I'm trying to remember the lyrics. Like I can't remember the lyrics.
It
was on the radio all the time. I promise. If you listened to it, you would know exactly what song it was. They played it at the freaking skating rink all the time too, when I used to go skating when I was a kid. So, but yeah, that's kind of crazy. That's kind of funny. I had no idea that they would. And this is kind of a funny and weird episode to take a name from. So
yeah, definitely. So one of the other things was that this, at one point in the episode, Eve 6 says, "I am her and she is me and we are all together," which is a reference to the first line of the song "I Am the Walrus" by the Beatles.
Huh.
Did you know that?
Didn't even know that. That's kind of crazy. You like the Beatles? Yeah, I like the Beatles. I'm not a huge Beatles fan or anything, but I'll listen to them.
Okay.
Sorry. I don't know. Are you a fan of the Beatles?
Not really. I mean, I don't know. I can't say that I don't like the Beatles. I just I'm not like,
I don't think anybody
jamming to the Beatles in the morning like on my way to work.
But yeah, I was gonna say I don't listen to them like very often at all, but they're all right.
Yeah, like if they're on somewhere else, like I'm not like fucking Beatles, turn it off.
Yeah.
But anyway, let's continue on. So the footage shown on the television, the cartoon cats following the news segment, which, by the way, anytime there's a cartoon on in a TV show or a movie, I always notice it just because I'm like, oh, I wonder if I've seen that cartoon before.
Yeah.
But apparently they used the same footage in the Millennium episode Human Essence from 98.
Hmm, interesting.
Yeah. What's Millennium?
It was another TV show from the 90s. It was a kind of like a, I think Millennium was a sci-fi show. Let me double check that. but I know exactly what show they're talking about. It was definitely like, it was a show from 1996 to 1999. It says here, and it's, let's see, a former FBI profiler with the ability to look inside the mind of a killer begins working for the mysterious Millennium Group. So it's kind of like an Illuminati show. It only ran for a couple of seasons, three seasons. So
interesting.
Yeah, it had what's his name in it, Lance Hendrickson.
Oh, cool. That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, some of the other little trivia here. The characters of Tina and Cindy were actually named after the wives of Glenn Morgan and James Wong, who actually rewrote the original script prior to filming. So even though these guys don't get a credit directly, they did actually kind of rewrite the script before filming. So that's like a double-edged trivia.
That's cool. Interesting. Yeah, I know Glenn Morgan and James Wong. I see them like as the producers of the show like almost every episode, so that's always interesting to see. They do a lot of that stuff. It also says here that it says Eve was the only episode of The X-Files to be directed by Fred Gerber, who Chris Carter felt brought some interesting stuff to it. I don't really feel like he brought much of anything interesting directorial-wise to this episode. It looks like every other episode to me. So, I mean, I'm curious to know what kind of interesting, quote-unquote, interesting stuff he's talking about. That's pretty odd, but I don't know.
Yeah, also, they originally wanted to cast twins, and they were filming in Los Angeles, but the child labor laws prevented them from using the twins like as often as they wanted, so they went locally in Vancouver. They also thought of maybe just casting one part actress and then using like special effects to do body doubles and stuff like that. However, that idea was rejected as it proved too impractical and expensive. They decided to just do it the old school way. The scenes in the episode set at the roadside diner were actually filmed at a cafe in White Rock, British Columbia, whose large gravel parking lot helped it appear to be a very rural setting.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yeah.
It's kind of crazy.
One of the other pieces of trivia, actually, this is the last piece I'll give out. The original idea was pitched it was actually under the title The Girls from Greenwich, which, if anybody knows anything about the movie The Boys from Brazil, where Nazi scientists tried to create clones of Adolf Hitler. That's the plot line for The Boys from Brazil. So The Girls from Greenwich was the original title, being like a reference to that film, being based off of sort of that concept, which is pretty interesting. Genetic experiments to create sort of super soldiers. In The Boys from Brazil's case, it was clones of Adolf Hitler.
To be completely honest with you, man, now hearing the theme of that movie, I wouldn't mind seeing that movie. That'd be pretty cool.
Did you ever hear that movie before?
I've never heard of that movie before.
Yeah. Steer clear, because that could also be the name of a porno, a gay one.
That does sound like it could be a name of a gay porno. And JP, you would know that, wouldn't you?
That was a joke that a while back somebody we made a joke about that in the group chat one day. But so that's kind of all the trivia here. If you want to, we can go ahead and get into tiers.
Let's go ahead and get into tiers. I'll start this week because I think you've started the last 2 weeks. Do you want to get into thoughts and tiers, I guess?
Yeah, that's thoughts and tiers.
Same thing. So, thoughts on this episode. First little half of the episode, a little bit over 15 minutes, I was interested. Last part of the episode, I kind of thought it was just boring. I don't know. I didn't really like this episode, to be honest with you. I liked that Deep Throat came back. I thought that was cool. It's always cool to see him for some reason. I'm like, oh, that's I'm going to hear something that's really pertinent to the underlying story, which I didn't in this episode, but it's still cool to see him. The whole like concept of this episode just was kind of boring to me, period, because like JP was saying earlier, there was a lot of plot holes. It was kind of hard to follow at times, like with the whole Eve 6, Eve 8, Eve 7. And like the whole cloning thing to me is always, I don't know, I never like cloning things. Like I don't ever like things with clones. Like, you know, even Attack of the Clones, the Star Wars movie, to me that's the worst Star Wars movie. But, I mean, I don't know. I still would give this a mid-tier rating. just because of the Deep Throat appearance. I would probably give anything with a appearance from Deep Throat or like a underlying story character a mid-tier, just because I feel like it's always cool to see those characters. But I, at the same time, I really didn't care too much for this episode. I thought it was kind of a slow burner. There wasn't a lot of action in it, and the only thing that I liked about it really was the at the beginning when the two people, you know, we find these two girls and the same thing happened at the same time. That was really the only thing about the whole episode that I thought was cool. Everything else I was kind of like, this is lackluster. So,
I actually like this episode. I do admit that it has a little bit of plot holes and it's kind of, you know, a little slow, I guess. I didn't find it overly slow compared to some of the episodes that we've watched thus far. I do like cloning things. I think it's pretty cool. I like the super soldier type dynamic. I liked that it kind of reminded me of almost like a Species type deal too.
Yeah,
which I like. There's just a lot of things that I did actually like in this episode. There was pretty much very few things that I didn't like, honestly, besides the plot holes and stuff. I was down with it. I enjoyed it. I wouldn't say that it's a high tier or anything. I would give it a mid tier still, but it was definitely it's actually out of the first 12 episodes, the first 11 episodes that we watched, it's probably top 5 for me. Which isn't saying much.
I mean, it's probably top 5 for me too. There were way worse episodes, but I mean, I can think of one episode that you didn't like a lot and I thought was a little bit better than you thought, that I actually enjoyed a little bit more. You're probably going to be like, "What the hell are you saying that for?" But I actually enjoyed the Jersey Devil episode a little bit more than I enjoyed this episode. I don't know why. I always think back to that episode and I always remember you hated that episode, but I sort of liked that episode. And this episode, it wasn't much lower, in my opinion, than Jersey Devil, but I just kind of like the Jersey Devil episode. I thought it was a pretty cool episode, but I don't know. That's how this stuff goes, I guess, with us. So,
yeah.
But yeah, that's pretty much it, man. You want to plug some stuff before we get out of here?
Yeah, man. Just at the time you guys hear this, because we're kind of a little bit ahead right now, but still, if you haven't checked it out, go back and listen to it. We just posted episode 68 of the 22 Shots of Mids and Horror, which is a huge, gigantic, mega episode, which was a crossover show with Exploding Heads Horror Podcast, and it is our top 10 horror films of 2015. Great show. We had a lot of fun. Moods actually gets a little drunk towards the end of it, and Dave, which leads to some funny moments, as well as just, you know, cutting up on Brandon being Jewish and me being Mexican. I mean, it honestly was a blast, a lot of laughs. Yeah, so check that out. That's what I'm plugging this week.
Sweet. Yeah, and definitely check out me and JP's YouTube channels on The Horror File, like I say, every week. Go over and give me a sub. I post all these episodes on my channel, along with the Ash vs. Evil Dead episodes. And the episodes I do, I guess, spot on the 22 Shots of Moods and Horror Podcast. I also post those episodes to my page. Check those out. Check out JP at Double Shot J. He posts the same stuff. But yeah, other than that, I think we're pretty much done.